Good morning. Listen, I don't know how many times we're going to have to do this, like, over and over and over. You know, one of the things, like, the thing that frustrates me the most about my kids is when I have to, like, say the same thing over and over, right? Have you ever done that? And so I feel like kind of the same situation is going on. Like, when the lights come on, just kind of go, yeah, or good morning, or woo, whatever tickles your fancy. Just, we need something, all right, some participation. So anyway, this morning we're starting a new series called One Another. And so what's really cool about this is if you read the New Testament, and I guess different versions of the Bible have different language or, you know, kind of different expressions or whatever that they use. But one of the phrases that you find very frequently in the New Testament is this phrase called one another. In fact, in the New American Standard Version, it's used 30 different times, this phrase, one another. And it's preceded by different things like bear with one another. Now, how many of you guys have ever been in a relationship or are currently in a relationship, don't look at the person to your left or to your right, that needs a little bearing with one another, right? Like, relationships, if you haven't figured this out yet, this is going to change your life. Relationships require patience. I don't know if you knew that or not. And so, matter of fact, I was talking to Shelly last night, I'm like, I'm probably going to ask you to help me on this one, because you've put up with me for 13 years. So you mastered the art of bearing with one another. And so I might get Shelly to help me on that if she wants to. So you coerce her to do that, right? I need help. And so that's just what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks is different aspects of this whole one another thing. But before we jump into it too deep and start talking specifics, we're going to talk kind of generalities and just what this one another looks like. And I think they're inextricably linked. One another and community, like living in community. And we say that word a lot, so we're going to kind of unpack that a little bit this morning. Like, what is community? What does it look like? And specifically, community within the context of the church. Because in my opinion, like, the church is or should be the greatest form of community in all of the world. But at any rate, we're going to talk about all of that. So that's kind of what we're the direction that we're going and the things that we're going to do this morning. And if you like that, you can say, mm-hmm. See, you guys, y'all got a little soul. I knew it. I knew it was in there somewhere. You just had to get through all the white first to get down into it. That's funny. Maybe a little racist, but funny. I'm white. I can make fun of white people. That's the rule, right? Everybody knows that. So, again, we'll talk about bearing with one another, praying for one another, loving one another, and all of that stuff. But this morning, we're going to talk specifically about community. And so, when we started Motion, we kind of, every business, every organization has what they call their core values. So Chick-fil-A or Lowe's or any other organization you could think of, and of course churches as well, have these things that they call core values. And it's kind of like the way you do your business and the things that are important to you and all of that stuff. And so one of the core values of Motion, we called them, because we're so clever, we called them the law of motion, the laws of motion, like the things that are extremely important to us and that are going to dictate the way we do things and why we do things and all of that stuff. And one of the laws of motion is community, because we just believe that it's that important, and we wouldn't want to have a church that didn't emphasize community, because then, like, really, what are you doing? Like, it's a show. If all it's about is you just coming, kind of getting your Jesus fix and leaving, and there are no relationships and there's no community, then it's just a show, and you can get your entertainment at Hollywood. You can do that somewhere else, like Hollywood Theaters. Oh, it's changed the name. Regal Theaters, I believe, is the correct one now. My bad. I'll stay up on my references here. And so I think it's just really, really important that we emphasize community, and not just emphasize it, but do something with it and live it out. And so that's the reason that we're starting small groups back up. We believe that there needs to be a greater emphasis on deeper relationships. And this is what's crazy. Some people think that just going to church once a week is their community. And it's just not. Like, we love that you come. And we're not talking to you, because you guys have obviously mastered this. We're talking to other people who show up sporadically, right? Right. I gave you an out. Like, at least agree with me. Concede the argument, right? And so people who show up and think that is their version of community. I went to church. I was there for an hour out of 168 hours a week. 1 hour, and that constitutes as community. That doesn't really do it. Like, and that doesn't really kind of get into this realm of deeper relationships like you find mentioned and emphasized in the Bible. And so it's got to be so much more than that. The relationships, this is a great place to start relationships, but this is not the end of relationships. There needs to be more going on outside of church. Because here's the deal, like Daniel says this all the time, and he does a very good job clarifying this. There's only so much interaction that can happen in this short span of time that we have together. Like, that needs to take place Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Like, we're here one day a week for 1 hour a week, right? More needs to happen outside of the church. And so that's what community is. So this is how we describe community. It says that God created us with the desire and necessity to be in genuine community. So I think that if we're honest, like, unless you're just the most extreme introvert in the world, which is not even an excuse to not be in community, BT-dub. That means, by the way, for all you lame non-hipster people. Even if you don't want to be in community, it's not an excuse. It's not an opt-out for you to be in community, because then, like, you don't get excuses from the Bible because of your personality. That's just for free, right? And so we all have this desire. The vast majority of us have this desire for community. We want to be wanted. We want to be loved. We want, like, not even just want for ourselves, but also we feel like we have something to give to relationships and to other people. So there's this desire that we have for community. There's also a necessity for community, because let me just be honest with you guys. Like, life can be very difficult sometimes, and it's much less difficult when you're going through it with people who care about you and love you and can encourage you and all of that stuff. And so it's just really important, this whole community thing. And so that's, let me get back on track. I drank a Red Bull and things are getting crazy. God created us with this desire and necessity to be in genuine community. Community offers accountability and encouragement that is biblical and necessary in the age we live in. We have our little volunteers. They meet before everybody else comes in. They get here at 10 o'clock, so you get here at 11. Don't complain, right? Amen. And all the people say it, amen. But Bianca did a teaching this morning about encouraging each other, and she also talked about how sometimes there's this verse in Hebrews that says that encourage one another daily as you are doing, and it's to keep you from falling prey to sin's deceitfulness. And there's just this idea that when we're kind of doing community and we're living and doing life together, what that does is it keeps us from deceiving ourselves, or keeps us from kind of falling prey to, this is what happens. You are so good at being your own lawyer, because I am too. And I know all about it. Like, we can justify anything that we want. We can justify attitudes. We can justify thoughts. We can justify actions. But if you have a friend that loves you, no bullcrap. Right? Like, if you have a friend that loves you, they're like, that's not right. And they will tell you that because they love you, they're not going to let you deceive yourself and do things that are harmful in the end to you. And so that's what community is all about. It's about accountability and encouragement that is biblical and necessary in the age that we live in. So that's a grand setup for this whole community thing, right? I believe, just based on what the Bible says and the way that, you know, all of this plays out for us. I mean, here's the cool thing. Like, doing life together is the best way to do life. And we've believed this for years as Christians, like, collectively, because of what the Bible says. But here's what's fascinating. After thousands of years of believing this as a group of people, sociologists have kind of come alongside us and said, hey, doing life together is the best way to live. And they put their stamp of approval on it, right? Okay, I'm glad you guys thought that was hilarious. After thousands of years of Christians believing that community and doing life together is the best way to live, sociologists now come and say that if you do life together and you're in committed relationships and deep relationships, that it's healthier for you as a person. I've got just a few statistics. You guys know I like statistics, so we're going to do this. This is from the British Medical Journal, so it's official, right? It's not like from the Star Gazette. That's one of those crappy ones you see at, you know, when you're checking out and you're like, wow, they found an alien that looks like Jesus. You guys are so unaware. Pay attention. Long-term relationships. This is from the British Medical Journal. Long-term relationships mean better mental health for women and better physical health for men. That is good. I wonder why that is. Like, I wonder why it's women get better mental health and dudes get better physical health. I'm not even gonna get into that one, because I will get beat down before it's all said. My physical health will be in peril. This is from the University of Chicago. It says people in committed relationships have less production of stress hormones. Like, so what happens is when you're doing life and you're trying to get through on your own, your body, your brain specifically, releases chemicals that induce stress. But if you're in committed relationships, it's reduced significantly. And these are all kind of from the Mayo Clinic, which is kind of a big deal. It says, being in community, having people that you do life with, it increases your sense of belonging and purpose. It boosts your happiness and reduces your stress. It improves your self-confidence and your self-worth. Dude, this is so true, isn't it? Like, when, let's just be honest, there are days where you get up and you look in the mirror and you're like, man, I suck, or I'm ugly, or whatever, however you talk to yourself. Like, typically mine is, dang, dog, you fat. You look, can we be honest? Like, I'm like, man, you look like a can of biscuits. Put your shirt on. It's ridiculous. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, and so I'm like, don't take that the wrong way. We've had this conversation. And so, like, that. But my wife, who for some reason or another has terrible vision and thinks I'm attractive, always, oh, you're so skinny, you're so high, you're so this or that. Like, I need the encouragement that she gives. And so that's what community is all about, getting your wife to give you fake compliments. It also, here's some other ones, it helps you cope. And these seem so logical. It's just like, yeah, that makes sense. But so many people refuse to be a part of community at any rate. It says it helps you to cope with traumas such as divorce, serious illness, job loss, or the death of a loved one. Like, and that's the thing. Like, it's not a matter of if tragedy strikes. It's a matter of when tragedy strikes. So you need to be in community. It'll help you get through these seasons of life. Another thing that it does, the last one we'll look at, is it encourages you to change or avoid unhealthy lifestyle habits or lack of exercise. And to me, that's just kind of a great way of saying it's accountability. Like, so if you're in community, you have these relationships, they keep you kind of on the right track, doing the right things that are best for you, whether that be exercise or dieting, in a spiritual sense, not falling prey to the sin, the deceitfulness of sin. And so community, even according to sociologists, is really important. But that's all well and good. But for us as followers of Jesus, like, the most important thing, the supreme authority, is God's word. And it encourages us. It doesn't not, that's a bad word. It doesn't even encourage us. It tells us to live in community. So I think you guys get the idea. There are mounds of statistic and research that kind of say the same thing, that life is better together. And so I was thinking about this, and you guys, you're familiar with the story of Adam and Eve, right? God created Adam, and then he created Eve, and so this beautiful, you know, man and woman. This is kind of funny, or I think it's funny. You guys probably won't, because you don't get my humor, right? You don't get myself. So the Hebrew word for man is ish, which is pretty cool. It's like, sup, ish. But then the Hebrew word for woman is ish-al. You guys are going to use that. Next time you see a girl and you're like, what's up, ish-al? So, but you go back to the creation story when God created Adam and then he created Eve. I was thinking about this, and the whole idea that God created Eve after he created Adam really, to me, kind of drives home this idea of community and companionship and friendship. Because if it were only about reproduction, if it was only God created Adam and Eve only for the sake of populating the world with humans, then he could have just continued to create people. Like, he could have done that himself. And so if you read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 20, it says, the man, this is after God created man and all of the beasts that do what beasts do, and the flock, and there's a lot of really cool language. The water was teeming with life, and, you know, all that cool stuff. And so it says, the man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field, but for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. And so you kind of get a view of what this looks like. Like, Adam took a look around, and then he saw that everybody else had companionship. Everybody else was in community. Like, all of the ducks were hanging out doing what ducks do. Quack. Right? I don't know what else they would do, but that's what they do. And so Adam kind of felt this sense of loneliness and lack of purpose and lack of belonging. And so God created Eve after he created Adam. And I read a commentary about this, and it was really interesting. The reason that God created, this guy's opinion was, that the reason that God created Eve after he created Adam was for the contrast, to show us how important community is. Like, for him, Adam, to have the opportunity to look around and see that everybody else is in community except for me. Man, I want that. Man, I need that. And so God created this helper, this helpmate, Eve, to help him and to be a companion, and that's good stuff. So that's kind of what's, it highlights the importance and value of doing life together. So that's just the introduction for the day. We haven't even got started yet. I hope you guys are, do you bring a lunch? Because you're going to need one. Start packing a lunch. Let's go. But what we're going to do, it's going to be really simple. We're just going to answer three questions related to community and how this looks and why it matters and all of that stuff. So the first one is what does this look like? Like we talk about community, like I said, and a lot of times we say things, but sometimes we don't even really know what it is that we're saying. Have you ever, I've been guilty of this, like I'll hear a word and I kind of know in context what it means, so I'll start throwing it around because I sound really smart. And the truth is I don't have a clue what it really, really means, right? You guys have never done that. Wow, I'm a loser. Okay, since I know that we've all done that and you're just not being honest with me in church, a lot of times we'll say things and we don't even really know what it means. And community, I think, may be one of those things that you hear and you're like, I think I get it. I kind of understand based on the context what they're saying, but I don't really, really, really know what it means. And so I want to paint a picture of what it really is to us in the church. And so let's start with old Webster. According to Webster, community is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. And so we can understand this from a geographical sense. Like a community, Longview is a community. It's people living in the same place. But the second part of the definition is the one that we're going to focus on. It says having a particular characteristic in common. And so for us as the church, as people who are trying to pursue God, trying to live and move and have our being in Jesus, like that is the particular characteristic that we have in common is this journey that we're on to try to be like Jesus and to represent him well and all of those things that we attempt to do. And so what we do is in our efforts and in our attempts to be on this journey, like we are a community of people. And I think you guys, you're smart people, you understand that. And so the first place that you really kind of see this appear in the New Testament is in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says it like this. And this is so cool, man. If you'll take some time and really try to think about this, I think it'll help you understand community a lot better. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And so let me kind of give you the backstory. This is after Jesus got killed, went to the tomb, resurrected, ascended, came back, said, holla at your boy, went back again. So there was a lot of things going. Jesus was busy, right? And so this is kind of the formation of the church. We call it the Acts Church, the first church. And this is where it first started. This is where it kind of started to happen and to develop. And so they were continually, there are so many really important words in this verse. They were continually devoting themselves. And so I think just the frequency, continually devoting themselves to one another and to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. The word fellowship is the word, it's the first time you really get this sense, the way that we translate that kind of into English is the word community. There's other variations of it, but it's the Greek word koinoneia. You got to say that because it's so fun once you nail it. You're like, yeah, I did anyway. You guys may not. And so it's the Greek word koinoneia, and it means, this is what koinoneia means. It's the essential meaning of koinoneia embraces concepts conveyed in the English terms community, communion, joint participation, sharing, and intimacy. That's what fellowship is. That's what community is. It's intimacy, communion, joint participation, and sharing. It appears 19 times in the Greek New Testament. In the New American Standard Bible, it's translated as fellowship 12 times, sharing 3 times, and participation and contribution twice each. So you get what community is? Like broken down, it's simply community is participation, like being actively participating, an active participant in this community, this group of people. It's fellowship. Like I love, that's one of those like really old school words, because when you think of fellowship, you think of like the Baptist church your grandpa went to, and fellowship meant food. PTL. Praise the Lord, right? Y'all are going to get it. And so, like, we like fellowship because that typically means food, so we're all about that life. And so that's another part of it is fellowship. It also means contribution. Like, this is where a lot of people kind of mess up. They think they can go and it's all about what they can get, but it's also about what you can give. Community is about what you offer to the community. It's the contribution. And the other word that is kind of translated is sharing. Like, sharing life together, sharing your experiences, sharing your struggles, sharing your victories. Like, it's better if you do it together. That's poetic, somewhat, is it? I don't know. We'll try it again later. So broken down, community is simply, it's fellowship, it's sharing, it's participation and contribution. In my opinion, the church really is the best avenue for us to experience community. Like, if I asked you, if I said, okay, so we're this group of people who are trying to honor God with our lives, I mean, that would be a simple explanation of us as the church. If I told you that you had to write on, maybe I gave you homework and you had an essay and I said, come back next week with this explanation and kind of an outline of what community would look like if you had to, if you had to create it on your own, like you would probably come back with a description of the church because it would probably include things like, I don't know, getting together maybe once a week, right? Like if you're mandated with this responsibility of creating a community of people, then obviously you would want to gather together somewhat frequently, right? And so in Hebrews chapter 11, it said, or maybe it's chapter 10. I get mixed up when I'm up here. If we were just having a conversation, I would nail it. But when I get the mic, I'm like, oh, Lord. But it says to gather yourselves together, right? Gather yourselves together. And so that's probably one of the things that you would include in your list of what would be the most efficient form of community. You would probably also include something like, I don't know, building strong and healthy relationships outside of our weekly gathering. Like if you were to define or create what community looks like, you would probably say that there are ongoing, active, and healthy relationships outside of our gathering, our time together. And so I think that if you're just logical, you're like, hey, the church really encourages that. I don't know. We also invite other people to join with us on this journey of doing life together. That's part of the community because, like, communities were never intended to be exclusive. They're always about inclusivity. It's about inviting other people to experience what it is that we get to experience. It really is, the church really is the greatest form of community, and it's the greatest opportunity for community to happen. If it's done right, the church equals community. That's, I don't like math, but I can do math as long as it's got words and stuff, right? Church equals community. So I think that's the first one. I mean, what does it even look like? And so to me, I think the best explanation of what community looks like is what the church is, the things that we strive to be. Our weekly gatherings are a part of that, but the relationships that happen and take place outside of here are even more so a part of that. And small groups, shameless plug, will be a great way for you to do that. So that's the first question. Like, what does it even look like? The second question, why does it matter? Because how many of you guys were very argumentative when you were younger? Maybe you still are argumentative. And so somebody would tell you to do something, and you're like, why? Because you had to have an explanation as to why you have to do what it is that you're being told to do. Did nobody else do that? Okay, thank you. Some people are honest. The rest of you, you lying in church. There are a number of reasons why this is important, but we're just going to focus on two for the sake of time. Because like I said, I know you guys, y'all hungry. Y'all don't want to be here all day. We're going to fellowship and eat after this, right? But we're going to talk about In-N-Out, not the burger joint, right? I started talking about food. Now my brain is all messed up. We're going to talk about, this is so important for those of us inside the church, but it's also important for those of us or for those who are outside of the church. And community, like I said, is really important for those of us inside the church because although we have access to the grace and peace of God and you have kind of a personal, individual relationship with God, that doesn't make you exempt from struggle. That doesn't make you exempt. That's a good one. Doesn't make you exempt from temptation. It doesn't make you exempt from peril or tragedy. Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean that you're never going to face a problem or a struggle in your life. And so what we need to do is we need to get that community is the answer to those problems. Maybe it's not the solution, but it's at least something that will help us to deal with it, right? I think, okay, you guys are smart. You got it. So in the event, like we said, in the event, more accurately, when the event happens or when the tragedy happens or when something happens, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be, you know, the death of a loved one. Maybe you're just in a funk. Have you ever been in a funk? I've had seasons in my life where I'm just not as focused maybe as I need to be, or maybe I'm just not as happy as I previously was, or maybe there's this missing component of joy in my life. And so maybe you're in a gray season of life. You need community to get you out of that, because if you don't, this is what happens. If you're not in community and you get in a funk, you're going to stay in a funk for a really long time because you have a limited ability to get yourself out of a funk. You need people to encourage you, people to correct you. Like, because this is most of the time when we're in a funk, we lie to ourselves. We say things like, man, I'm stupid. I can't do this. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. Am I the only one that lies in the funk? I lie in the funk. You lie in the funk too. We're going to write a song. Dakota's going to sing it. Lie in the funk. And so what we need to do is be in community, because when the funk happens, then you need people that will help you get out of the funk. And it's not a quick fix. I'm not saying that, you know, one person comes along and says, have a better day, and you're like, man, I feel great. Man, I wish, but it's not like that. But it's just the constant encouragement, kind of this constant giving and contribution of other people to your life that will help you get out of the funk. And this is where it just kind of gets hard. Failure to do this, failure for us to be active participants in community, it's really just an act of selfishness and pride. Because you have fallen prey to the false assumption that this life is about you, and it's just not. I mean, I don't know if you read your Bible. Like Jesus, who had every right in the world to make this life about him, didn't choose to do that. He made his life about other people. Like one of my favorite verses is Mark 10:45. It says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So for us, like our job is to follow his lead. Like we're supposed to, he was a great template, an example of what life is about. So we follow his lead. He served other people. We serve other people. He didn't make his life about himself. He made his life about others. We don't make our lives about ourselves. We make our life about others. And so I think failure to do this, failure to be part of community, is really just selfishness and it's pride. Like you are so consumed with you and how you feel and what you want and what you can get out of other people, like in a negative sense, in a using sense, a manipulation sense, that you are selfish and prideful, and that's the reason that you refuse to be in community. Nobody in here, other people. I gave you an out. Say amen. Jeez. Even if, like, let's just say you're the most awesome person in the world. Even if you've never needed anybody else's help, you didn't need encouragement for anybody, you're kind of self-sufficient and independent, and you can do this on your own. Like, even if you're that awesome, that doesn't take away from the fact that you're robbing other people of what it is that you're supposed to be contributing, right? And that's never the case. Like, you're never that good. You're never that awesome. There's always going to be a time, maybe less frequently than others, but you're always going to have a season where you need encouragement. But less than that, what about the thing that you're taking away from others when you don't contribute your part? So failure to be part of community is selfishness and it's pride. Why else would Jesus say, like, we love to quote this verse that Jesus said. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. Yeah. But then we forget about the part after where it says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you just can't do that if you're not in community. How are you going to love your neighbor as you love yourself unless you're actively involved in their lives? It's impossible. And so this is, a lot of people just think that loving their neighbors is smiling at people, being friendly to people, and all those things are great. Those are fantastic. But unless you actually get involved in people's lives, like, let's be logical here, okay? Let's say that you are in a relationship. Let's say you're married. Let's say you have a husband or you have a wife. And you say that you love that person, but you never talk to them. You don't have a clue what's going on in their life. You don't have an idea what they feel about certain things, what they like, what they dislike. You don't know what sets them off. You don't know what makes them happy. Do you really love that person? No. You don't really love that person if you're not involved in their life. And so I think the correlation is clear. To be loving toward our neighbors means that we have to be involved in their life. And Jesus said that's the second most important command in all of the Bible. Pray all you want and give all the money you want and do all the nice things you want, but if you don't do that, then you're kind of missing out, right? Right. So that's for those of us inside. But for people that are outside of the church, community is so important, because here's the deal. Like, you were outside at one point. You know what this is, unless you're like Shelly. Shelly came out of the womb saved. Man, like, it's not fair. It ain't right. Like, Shelly was always perfect, and everybody else is, like, terrible. And so for the rest of us that were outside at one point in our life, like, we know what this is like. I'll kind of just use my experience for this. Man, I was at the lowest point in my life. Man, I just felt this emptiness, this lack of purpose. And I had a lot of good things going on in my life, but I wasn't right. You know what I mean? Like, everything extrinsically can be okay, but internally you're a mess. And that's where I was at. And so Shelly is hot, and she invited me to church, and I was like, yeah, yes, y'all. It's before I knew that, or I would have used it. And so she invited me to church, and I got around this group of people who were at some of the highest points in their life, and they were spiritually vibrant, and they were growing. And that made such a huge impact on me. So for me, coming from the outside, I needed the hope and the encouragement that they had. And that's why it's so important. Like, we know that people in the world are looking for something. That's why so many people are addicted to so many stupid things, because what it does is it gives them a fix. It gives them a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. They can, for at least a little while, feel this sense of okay and feel this sense of peace and feel this sense of hope. But it's not really hope. It's just a mask, right? It's a charade. And so what we need to do is we need to continually offer hope through the form of community to the people that are outside. And I know that we get this because we've been there. Like, we know what they're going through because we were going through the same things. We know what they're feeling because we felt the same things. We know what hopelessness feels like. We know what despair feels like. And so how could we possibly forget how we felt and neglect other people's of the opportunity to be a part of a community that could change their lives? Selfishness and pride would be the only thing that would keep us from doing that. Like, and I don't think that we have a problem with this. I think that, of course, with anything, we could always do better. But always be intentional about inclusivity. Don't exclude people. Include people. If you're going to do something, if you're going to go eat, or if you're going to go watch a movie, or if you're going to go hang out, invite people. Don't be my four and no more. Like, we're so cliquish. We have a tendency to be, and that's, look, have relationships and have more people or a group of people that you're closer to than others, but don't ever exclude people. If you see somebody that looks lonely, invite them to do something. Like, we make this community thing sometimes have to be so deep and super spiritual. You want to know what community is? Hey, I'm cooking pizza tonight. Come eat with me. And out of that, a lot of times, deeper relationships and discipleship happens. And so make sure that we're encouraging those on the outside to be a part of community. And that's why it's so important. Mm-hmm. That's okay. The last one is this. How many of you, I was such a bad kid. I was a bad kid. You were a bad kid too, probably, except for Shelly. Since we've already established that. But I was a very manipulative child. Man, I knew how to work my mom. I wore her out. Like, I wore her out so bad she didn't even know she was getting wore out. She still to this day doesn't know that she got wore out when I was a kid. And so, like, you know, your parents would ask you to do something, and most kids say, do I have to? Have you ever done that? You got kids that do that, and what do you want to do? Well, I mean, get in the corner, do timeout. Hey, you raise your kids how you want to. I know what works for me. And so the last question is, do I have to? And this is, again, the kind of question that we ask when our parents ask us to clean our room or to do the dishes. We're like, man, do I have to? But let me ask you, I had to explain this to my kids, like, this week about community within our household. Like, we all chip in. We all have things that we do and ways that we help out. Even if it isn't my mess, I'm going to help clean it up. I take out the trash. You think all that trash is mine? No, you messy little freak. You contributed. I mean, I didn't say that to them. They're not in here. I mean, no, you sweet little angel. Greatest dad of the year. But all of the trash isn't mine. You contributed to the mess, but I'm taking out your mess. And so if you see a piece of trash on the floor, I don't care if it's not yours. Pick it up. Make a contribution to this family, to this community. And so I don't even know where I got on that, man. We started talking about kids. But when you're asked to do something, like, for example, doing the dishes, what if you said no and you never did it? And the dishes continued to pile. We've been in houses that have had, I mean, roach infestations. And it's because people didn't take care of the things they were supposed to take care of. They got out of control. They were nasty. They should have been condemned. And so these places were all about people. Well, do I have to? I don't feel like it. I don't care what you feel like. Do it. And so the answer to the question about community is, do you have to? Yes. Now do it. It's like, some of us are less inclined to be social. I get that. Some of us are more recluse in nature. I get that. But it's not an excuse. It is not an excuse. You know, it's funny. Maybe I'm less likely to be loving. But is that an excuse to be less loving? Like, I mean, does the Bible say, for all of you who are very friendly and outgoing and social and you want to be, you know, this yay kind of person, right? For those of you that are like that, there's joy and happiness and all of that stuff. But if you don't want that, you don't have to experience that, or you don't have to do that, or you don't have to live like that. It doesn't make exceptions for any of us. It says all of us to love one another as we love ourselves. Love, whatever. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Or the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness. It doesn't say unless you're a recluse or unless you don't like people or any of that stuff. Like, we don't get to make those exceptions for ourselves. And so even if you're less inclined to be like that, or it's not necessarily your personality or your tendency, it's not an excuse. And so don't make excuses for yourself where the Bible didn't make excuses for you. That doesn't change the value and the importance of community. Like we talked about, even people who are extremely self-sufficient, independent, and they don't really need a lot of help, this is still really important for them, because these key relationships, even if everything is good, it can be better. And these key relationships help us get to that point. It comes back to a few of the things that we've already discussed. For one, the word community means contribution and participation. Again, kind of a revolving around this word. I felt like Scooby-Doo, revolving? I don't know why, but I did. And so this is all revolving around that question, do I have to? And so we come back to this word community, which means contribution and participation. Do you have to contribute? Yes. Do you have to participate? Yes. We have a contribution to make to the community, and we are called to be active participants in it. Although we make excuses for ourselves as to why this doesn't apply to us, the Bible really doesn't do that. Again, failure to be a part of a community, failure to be actively involved in contributing, really just it reveals in you selfishness and pride, and we have to get away from this thinking. We have to get away from this false assumption that we buy into sometimes, that this life is about us, because it's not. Like you specifically, it's about us. It's not about me. It's about us. And so we have to buy back into that truth and forget the lie. So the simple, I could have just bypassed all of that and said the simple answer is yes. Now go clean your room, right? Go clean your room, because that's what we started with. So the simple answer is yes. Like, you have to be a part of a community. If you want to live out this kind of biblical mandate to encourage one another, to love one another, to bear with one another, to be actively participating in the lives of other people, the community is essential. You have to be a part of community. Now, let me just kind of give you don't have to be a part of our community. I would love for you to. That's what we want. But so many people think, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And you don't. But it's just going to suck for you, because it's going to be really lonely and boring and suck. I couldn't think of any other adjectives or descriptives. So just sucks, okay? Just go with me, right? And so, like, that's, you're just missing the point. Like, could you be somebody who has faith in God and a belief that Jesus is the Son of God and all that stuff and not go to church? Yes, you could. Are you missing the point? Yeah. Because you're having this you're gonna have an incredibly difficult time loving your neighbor as you love yourself if you've made your life all about you and you kind of just revolve around you, like you are the sun and it revolves all around you. So that's not the answer. The answer is community. So what we're gonna do this morning is we're just gonna close by simply asking God to help us become, or to continue to become, a better community of people who honor him. And all of the things that are important to him are important to us, and encouraging and including other people are important to us, and that's what we're going to pray for. We're going to pray to be in fellowship, to share with one another, to contribute to the community, and to participate fully. Bow your heads and let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for everything that you do for us. God, I pray that you would help us, God, just to see the importance of doing life together. God, not just from a natural and physical standpoint, like all of the statistics and the research say that doing life is better for us, it's healthier for us, it's better for our well-being, but God, from a spiritual standpoint, that we can encourage each other when we're in community. God, we can keep each other going and get each other out of these dark seasons or these funks that we go through when we're in community, and we can help each other deal with the adversity and difficulty when we're in community. God, I pray that you would just help us to understand and to implement community into our lives. God, I pray that we just get that we're supposed to be active participants and sharers and contributors to the community. God, help us to never make this about us. Help us to not fall prey to this idea that our life is ours and it's all about me and I'm going to do me and all those dumb things that we say, but we would make our lives about others, just like you did. You didn't come to be served, but you came to serve, and you gave your life to other people. God, we love you, and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name, that you would help us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.